The Fox.
Hilariously Melbourne.
Fifi, Feb and Nick.
Experience Fifi, Feb and Nick weekdays from 6.
And experience Monet and Friends at the Loom.
A uniquely immersive introduction to art.
Monet and Friends at the Loom is a must-see for the whole family
this school holidays. Fifi, Feb
and Nick. I'm an adult who regularly gets into trouble from my mum. It just happens quite often. The other day she yelled at me.
I think most people get in trouble.
Sometimes you age out. Yeah, everyone's scared of my mum. You can age out of being told out off by your mum.
Is Pearl Melbourne's mum? You could just get a call from Pearl at any time.
Oh, and you're scared. Yeah.
You don't want a call from Pearl.
You don't. Terrifying.
She's hammered me on text messages before.
Yeah, no, nobody's safe. But I'm bringing this up because I feel for the senior aide to Japan's Prime Minister. Fumio Kishida, that is the Prime Minister, he was on an official trip to the US. Now he's got his Deputy Chief Cabinet Secretary, who is with him at all times.
Yeah.
So this guy, CG, he's always in shot. So when you see the Prime Minister Fumio on the TV, you'll see the aide standing next to him. And his Deputy Chief has come out and said, "Oh, I got into so much trouble by my mum and I have to formally apologise to Japan." Because in every shot, he has his hands in his pockets, and his mum said to him that she was so ashamed of him. It looks a bit, I don't know, a bit relaxed maybe. I don't know why the mum didn't like it. Yeah.
It's not cool.
No, it's maybe a bit disrespectful, the mum thought, but she was ashamed of him.
Is he having an itch? Or is it just in there?
No, he's just got his hands in his pocket. He's just got his hands in his pockets.
Cool, dude.
Well,
yeah.
He looks cool, but his mum did not like it and he got into trouble. And there's something about that. I mean, that guy has risen to be the Deputy Chief Cabinet Secretary of Japan.
She pulled out the samurai sword.
Hopefully she didn't. But when you're a grown adult, and even, you know, the fact that prime ministers, presidents probably still get into trouble from their mum, because it's just regular for me. I'm trying to think about what my... I'm just trying to think. The other day, mum was ringing me and this is quite funny. So I didn't know mum was ringing me, but my iPad is connected to my phone. So Daisy is on my iPad and I was just lying there having a nap on the couch because I was really tired. And the next minute I can just hear Daisy's answered the phone on my iPad and I can just hear mum yelling like, "Fiona, what are you doing? Where are you?" And I'm like, "Mum, you're like, what's happened? How are you here?" And she just yelled at me and hung up. And I just remember going, I don't even know what I did. I've done something and I'm now scared. And now I've got to go and somehow say sorry for something that I obviously did.
Why?
I don't
just
know.
Don't.
It just makes...
Just don't.
Stand up to
then
her.
What?
No. Well,
then what?
No. No, it's not worth
She's
it.
She's not that scary. She's lovely. Just stand up to her and say, "Mum, chill."
Say, "What are you going to do, Pearl?"
Yeah. What are you going to do, Pearl?
It's really funny what you guys are saying.
Yeah. Why don't you do it? We'll ring her now.
No. She's good. Bold. We're good. No, mum's great.
Get on the front foot.
You were just saying off air that
no,
you were...
No, I wasn't saying anything. Ha ha, mum. Don't listen to him because I know she's listening.
Offense is the best defense. No. So you just call her
Get
up and go, "I'm telling. I'm telling you off, Pearl."
My mum is great. My mum is a wonderful
mum.
She's so supportive, looks after me.
She looks good in those foxy boxies.
Yeah, looks great. I love my mum.
But
I want to talk about other people's mums.
Hold on.
Let's talk about when you get told off as an adult by your mum. And it might be someone else's mum. It's like the mums who walk onto footy fields. You would have seen it over the years.
Yeah, well, I got told off by my mum all the time when I was younger. But then as soon as I got bigger, I don't think I've been younger.
I got told off by your mum last Friday. Well, so that was John. She told me to sit down.
Yeah, but then she did sit down. She literally passed out on the table.
Get involved now. 131060 is our number here at the Fox.
Some people never escape their mum's apron strings. And you can be an adult. You could be an executive at a company. You could be smashing in your career. You could be a grown adult with your own children, but your mum still yells at you and you get into trouble.
Fee, what would you think about if you were going out with a bloke who was getting in trouble from his mum? Would you find that to be a turn off or would you find it cute that he still listens to his mum?
It's not actually about the getting into trouble. It's how he reacts to it. So if he crumbled and gave
succumbed,
in, yeah. Then I'd be like, "Oh, I don't know about that." But if he was just like, "Mum, stop talking," I'd go,
"Shut up your face."
I think all that
when you spoke was all directed at one person, I reckon.
What do you mean? I'm talking about the Japanese.
Yeah, I know, but the way you were.
Well, because the Japanese PM's deputy chief got into trouble from his mum. He was on a US trip, all over the television, and he came home and his mum cracked it because he had his hands in his pocket every time he was on TV, and she was very ashamed of him. And your parent, your mum particularly, I think, or even your dad, parents can make you feel that. Even it's you never escape that feeling.
So it's like an interview. This is like, we're here for you.
You can escape it.
Does Pearl ever yell at you about anything you do on the radio? Like just
absolutely. Yeah. No, she's good. Actually, I think she's finally. Proud, I say that reluctantly. In the early days when I was doing radio, constantly mum would say, stop saying that. You're saying this word too much. I think I actually was one. She'd always text me, stop saying actually. And I'd tell a story that might involve her. And I've had to send her flowers a few times to apologise. Just things like that. Yeah. But no, she's good. She's actually a very good radio programmer. Often gives us good
Mando.
Feedback. Chantelle from Narre Warren. Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Chantelle. I'm nervous talking about my mum. Are you going to talk about your mum?
I am. So yesterday we actually had a funeral and I was sitting with my sister and all of my family were behind us. And as the priest said a prayer and we ended with to forgive us of our sins, both my sister and I's eye caught a lady who we're not overly fond of. And I said, no, not hers. And then my sister started bursting out laughing because it wasn't supposed to be funny, but it ended up funny. My mum behind her was going berserk, sitting with my younger sister. I could feel the death stares without even having to turn around.
I bet. And your mum, I mean, that being annoyed at you is quite warranted in that situation. That's
it was so bad. But you know, once you get those giggles, you just can't stop.
The fun back into funeral.
Yeah.
Of all places.
Getting into trouble from your mum.
My sister and I are now banned from sitting together at funerals.
Your mum should sit between you both.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The little pinch I'd get under the arm would be warranted.
I can't wait to be like that with my girls. I can't wait.
When they laugh at a funeral and you yell at them.
No, it would just be like when they're adults and they think they're free. No, you're not.
They're not.
Oh, see, Fee. Yeah,
that's what Pearl would think of you.
Hurt people hurt people, Fee.
You are your mum.
You are your mum. Tell Sarah from Ringwood. Hi, Sarah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hello, Pearl.
I just said how much I loved my mum.
No, you didn't.
This isn't Sarah from Ringwood. This is my mum.
What rubbish you guys talk sometimes, really and truly. And just on that point, how dare you slander a little old lady? What sort of people are you? I'm a lovely person. Nobody thinks I'm not nice. I have so many young friends who just love me, and yet I get from you guys, I'm awful, I'm a terrible person, I'm an ogre.
Hey, Pearl, not you guys. It's just one person.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
It's one person.
Yeah, Fee didn't say that. No, she wrote it on a piece of paper and held it up.
I think she tells you all these terrible things about me. Do you want to know about that conversation the other day?
Yes.
Really like to hear what that was about?
Yes.
I had arranged a family dinner and I needed to know who was going to be able to come. And did I hear from my daughter? No, she didn't get back to me. And so on the day of the dinner, I thought, I need to ring her now to see if she's going to be available to come. Because she always organises all these things.
Pearl, she left all this out.
I don't know anything about. She did leave all that out. And so I was ringing her to find out whether or not she was actually coming. But on the side of that, the dinner was actually cancelled. So I was ringing to tell her. Firstly, she hadn't replied to say she would come. And then I was ringing to tell her that it had been cancelled. But that's beside the point. I ring her number, and you know she never answers the phone. So I ring her number, and the next thing I've got silence on the other end of the phone, and there's all this silence. But I can hear movement, so I can hear noises. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? And the next thing I hear is little Daisy saying, Mom, who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? And I hear my daughter say, it's Pearl. And the next thing I just said, Fee, what's going on there? What are you doing? And why are you not talking to me? Why have you not rung me? And all of that, I said all of that. And the next thing she says, Mom, I didn't know it was you on the phone. She told Daisy it was me on the phone.
Oh, she's lying.
So tell me if I'm not being planned.
No, Pearl.
I can't believe this is a funner about when has your mum told you off. When we should be talking about when has your daughter let you down.
Yeah, she let you down because she did say to me, Pearl, that you'd organise a dinner and she didn't want to go.
I did not say
did,
that.
You did so.
That is
you
an
said
absolute
they're
lie.
Organising, I don't want to go. And then you
He's
got called
lying.
Out and then you said, thank God it got cancelled.
I thought the dinner was on. I was saving up. I hadn't even had lunch thinking I'm looking forward to that dinner
tonight. That's not what happened.
It's not what happened. Sorry, Mum.
Something like that happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my apologies. But don't fall for that. Your kids can answer.
I'm still waiting for all those flowers. Where are all those flowers you sent me?
Remember back? No, that was when I started radio.
Did they not get delivered? Did they not get delivered?
No, that was when you would really get cross if I talked about something you did on the radio. Now you're fine.
She delivered Daisy. That's a good enough flower.
Oh, good.
Hey, Pearl, but you last time you were on Advanced Joy on the radio, you got any other song requests while you're on?
Cool. I think Kate Bush, Running Up the Hill.
Okay.
Right.
Josiah, you
we
have to do
Kate
that now.
Bush. We love a little bit of Kate Bush.
Can we do that before 9 o'clock, Leon?
Music sounding good, though. I just have to tell you, music sounding really good at the moment.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm not saying no to Pearl. Yeah, she can play it.
Thanks, Pearl.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, we're very excited about this. Australian Idol. It is back on Channel 7. Kicks off Monday, 7:30. How good to have this show back. The original talent show in many ways here in this country.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there were the ones from the 80s, but... I was too
stuff.
Young to see those. Australian Idol is back. Good friends of ours, Kyle Sanderlands, Amy Shark, Meghan Trainor, and this superstar is joining the panel, Harry Connick Jr., and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Harry.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Oh, it's so great to have you on our screens, and we can't wait for this on Monday, Harry. And you know, you're a music superstar. You're judging our talent. What did you make of the Australian talent that was coming through? Because we've seen a few of the auditions, and I mean, can we hear those actually, Josiah? These ones, Harry. I'd love to know how you managed to keep their spirits up when they were singing like this.
I'm falling to pieces.
Baby, how you feeling? Feeling good as hell.
Harry, what did you make of Australians?
Well, so I think the reason Idol hired me is because, you know, I really love the kids, and they know that I'm going to be honest with them. And people love Idol for lots of reasons. The main reason being they see extraordinary young talent sort of develop before their eyes. But one of the other things that people like is that it's an entertainment show. So they're going to bring in a couple of ringers now and then that, you know, really can't sing. So, I play along and tell them, listen, this isn't really for you. And then we get down to the nitty gritty. But this part of the competition is a wide variety of talent. But what's really impressed me, and this is the God's honest truth, when we went all over the country back in October and looked for singers, I was blown away by the percentage that were really incredibly talented kids. I mean, every once in a while, they, you know, somebody like a goofball would come in, and that's all fine. But I was like, oh my gosh, like if we listened to 40 kids, like 30 of them sang great, 20 of them were, you know, extraordinary, and like 5 of them were, whoa, this person might actually win. So it's going to be, all I can tell you is it's going to be so hard for y'all to pick a winner. That's all I can say. And it's that's the greatest thing for Idol, because it's all about the kids. It's going to be tough to pick a winner, man.
You say you traveled our beautiful country, Harry. What was the most disappointing in terms of talent?
Oh, what state? What city?
Oh, gosh. Thanks a lot. you know, I can't answer it like that, but I will answer it like this. So I figured when we got to Western Australia, when we got to Perth, I'm like, that's so far away. Like, I can't imagine that many people, A, coming out to audition, and B, you know, I just figured there wouldn't be as many kids out there that were really great just because it's so far away. I don't know why I thought that, but I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, they are showing up out here. I mean, it was, and you may think I'm exaggerating, and that's fine, but wait till you see the kids.
It like, is a
beautiful
place.
They're from all over the country. Man, like blown away. I really was.
Which now, Harry, we know you were on a panel there with great Australian superstars in Amy Shark, and then obviously Meghan Trainor, who's brilliant, Kyle Sanderlands. Who did you butt heads with? Is there somebody in there that maybe you didn't agree with necessarily?
Well, I mean, we all, you know, have different opinions throughout the show, and there's things that they say that I don't agree with all the time, and vice versa. But I never butt heads with anybody. I mean, I love everybody. I love Idol. I love, you know, everybody up on the panel. For me, it's a great time. So, like, it's not about, like, it never gets weird, like, butting heads or anything. But there's a lot of differences of opinion, and that's great. You know, I mean, I have my experience that I bring to the table, and they have theirs. And I think the audience is going to get four completely different perspectives, which is what they want, you know. So I'm excited for the audiences to see what we all have to say.
We're excited to have you on our television screens, and you've obviously filmed the auditions. Then there's going to be the live show. So when are you coming back? When do we get you back in the country?
We come back right at the beginning of February. I think the show starts Monday night for
yes.
y'all, and then
yeah,
we get
Monday.
Back in. Like, I think we fly down on February the 5th, and then I'm just so excited. I'm bringing my wife, and we're bringing our three daughters, and we love Idol, and we're obsessed with your country. That I think that's why I keep coming back. It's just such an amazing place. I mean, the people and the culture, and we love everything about it. So we can't wait to get back down there.
I was wondering, I love watching these shows when the artists, you guys, the judges, because you're obviously so great in your field. So Amy, Megan, and you, do you get up and perform at all? Because obviously Kyle can't, because he doesn't get off his chair and he can't sing. But do you guys get up there and do a performance?
Well, we haven't. I take that back. So there were a couple of times during the preliminary rounds that I actually got up and played a little bit. Because for me, the competition hasn't really started yet until it gets down to the top 24. So I didn't feel like I was doing anything that would be inappropriate or biased, you know, from a judge's point of view. So there were a couple of times when I got up and played. And that was fun, you know, because it's really relaxed. It's kind of because you don't know who's competing. But now that the competition is starting, you know, that won't happen anymore, because I'm like laser focused on these kids and giving them the most objective, you know, advice and judgment that I can. But who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know what they have planned for us to do, but, you know, maybe there'll be some more of that. I just don't know.
Well, we can't wait to see this. We've got a few more days to wait. 7:30 Monday, Channel 7, Australian Idol premieres with the wonderful Harry Connick Jr. Harry, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. I can't wait.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
We are going to talk about something that it stirs the pot a bit. It gets people thinking. It can anger people. It can excite people. Conspiracy theories.
Oh, great.
Ooh. I love a good conspiracy theory. I'm not someone who naturally leans into conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Elvis is still alive?
No, he's not. No.
Moon landing didn't happen.
That might not have happened. That one I can lean into.
That never happened.
Because I can, back in the 60s, I could see how there was the space race going on. America wanted to beat Russia, the USSR. Yeah. So I can see that they might have gone, hey, we can make a set look like it. Because they say things like, the flag doesn't
wave. The flag is facing a different way. And it was like, a different way, and it was just still. Was that in the middle of Arizona or Texas or somewhere? They're in a barn, man.
And I feel like space travel hasn't moved very far since then. Like,
it's gone nowhere.
Hmm, interesting.
I'm going to think, that was 60 years ago they landed on the moon. Now, doesn't happen that often.
That one, yeah, I can buy into.
Absolutely never
happened.
Josiah
ran one by us the other day.
Not the vaccine one.
No.
Oh, that's true.
Mm. Him and Djokovic were out having French dinner last night.
Enjoyed it.
Anti-vaxxers. It's the only restaurant they can go to.
This is one I hadn't heard.
The 9/11
one? The 9/11 one.
Apparently, and excuse me for the details, but there were some documents coming out the day after 9/11. Like some that the government had spent trillions of dollars in the wrong place, and the exact place where the plane allegedly hit the Pentagon.
It didn't hit the Pentagon, did it?
It didn't. No, there was a bomb, and it was in the exact place where all those paperwork was. And
there's
now
there's no evidence of a plane, though, is there?
And now they can never find yeah. the paperwork that was about to be released the next day.
And you also told me that they were rockets, not planes, didn't you?
That's what they think.
So. What do you mean? Just but I Pentagon, saw the plane.
The no, the plane. You never see pictures of the plane in the Pentagon,
but
I'm pretty sure.
But I saw the plane going to the Twin Towers.
Yeah, that's different.
I don't, oh, so you think they're two different things.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then where are those people from that flight?
They were in a paddock, weren't they?
Don't ask me questions. I
actually,
can't
that bit has just made that theory come undone. Yeah. You're right. The people on the plane that went into the Pentagon.
No, Bev's right. They were in a paddock.
They were in a paddock.
And it was a bomb, they reckon, inside the Pentagon.
Inside the Pentagon.
Hang on. So the plane went down in a paddock.
Yeah. I'm pretty
deliberate.
Sure.
I don't believe that. That's rubbish. That one I don't buy into.
But the moon. You with me?
The moon one, I might be with you on
100%.
That. 100%. Yvonne from Point Cook. Now, by the way, 131060, if you've
Buzz
got a good
Neil.
Conspiracy theory, one you really believe in, please feel free to share. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello.
Now, Yvonne, there's a conspiracy theory that you believe, and this is in regard to a famous celebrity.
Yes, that's right, Britney.
Britney Spears. Okay, hit us with it, Yvonne.
Well, I don't believe that she is actually, like, free out of her conservatorship. I think her husband is part of, like, her dad's plan or something. Because you just, like, if you follow her on Instagram, I follow her for the comments, and now they've switched the comments off. And when you could comment, like, people really deep dive into, like, the conspiracy.
Right. So that conspiracy, because, see, it's funny. I follow her too, Yvonne, and I see her post, and every time I see her post, I think she needs her family. I think that is a little girl lost, and please, somebody look after her.
What do you mean? What about the video of her rolling nude around in the bed, and then the caption was, "When's Halloween?"
Again, I don't think a mum would go astray. Oh. I just feel like some people.
I don't know, but.
But okay,
I need something.
Because so Jamie, her dad, he comes under fire all the time, and all the Britney fans hate him. But you think he's still got his claw?
Yeah. Yep, I do. I think he's still got a grasp on her.
Because Yvonne, there's another conspiracy theory. Leon, you were telling me about it, that Britney is in fact dead. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I've seen a lot of videos on TikTok, which is not a great news source, but of people saying that it's just green screen or deep fakes or animations and she's no longer with us.
Yeah, that's not true.
And it's always the same pictures, like her dancing in the...
I only say that's, you know, she was papped last week at a restaurant.
Was she though?
Was she? You just don't know.
Yeah, they had a video of her cracking it because someone was taking photos of her at another table. I mean, the poor girl, she can't go out. She can't go to, like, Smorgies and just hang out. But that's her take. She loves that stuff. Like, she's not – what I love about Britney is she's not a high-class
chick. You reckon
she's
a sizzler sort of girl?
Totally. She loves an all-you-can-eat. She's become a multi-millionaire, but
Don't you think with these things that sometimes the simplest answer is the one that's correct?
Which is?
She's not well. She might not be well.
She might not. Like,
I should say it's someone that was under a conservatorship. Now she's out and she's rich and free. So she's just, woo, having a blinder.
Yes.
She was having a blinder before then.
And a
too.
Child star. Child stars sometimes.
It never comes out well.
Yvonne, thank you for sharing that with us. Alex in Dandenong. Hi, Alex.
Hi, good morning. How are you going?
Great, Alex. Now, you might be able to update us with the conspiracy theory about 9/11.
Yeah, look, the way those buildings went down, the way it collapsed, it just doesn't make sense. And the worst thing is Building 7 going down that was not even hit by an airplane.
Right. You know what? See, when Josiah said this to me the other day, I read a bit about it. Is it the fact that some sort of beam in that building, it should not have fallen? Is that what you, I was?
Didn't they say they had, like, what's the explosive?
Thermites.
Yeah, something in the
thermite paint.
No, is it the
TNT?
Like that, yeah, TNT. They had it all in the pillars of the walls.
No,
that's
I think,
why
thermite,
it dropped straight down.
Thermites burn hotter. So they reckon there were thermites to bring the building down. But if they believe that the airplanes brought the two towers down, nothing ever hit Building 7 and it collapsed exactly the same on its own weight. Just from pretty much top to bottom, just crushed straight to the bottom.
Comedian Daniel Sloss, who you love, Fee, he, when he was a teenager, got into this sort of stuff, looking into it. But his dad, his mum works for the UN, and his dad invented the 3D heart scan, so very smart scientist, and then just explained to him how it did collapse. And it doesn't need, jet fuel doesn't need to melt the beam, it just weakens it to the point that it collapses under itself.
Right, I like that. That
but I also
that.
Like people on YouTube, Alex, just having a go.
Can I, can I take this conspiracy theory a bit further? So if that is the case, let's leap to the motive, like what happened there? So who wanted that building to come down?
Taliban.
Insurance. Why not insurance?
See, people are saying American.
Didn't they, the guy that owns the Twin Towers, he insured a couple of months before the Twin Towers attack, and he actually bought the cover for a terrorist attack as well?
Are you talking from a bunker?
No, the guy that owned the buildings, I've heard this one as well.
Just before,
this is all like what I've seen in videos as well. Mm. They insured the building for a terrorist attack just before it happened, like a month before or something.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying.
But you would.
Mm.
Yeah, well, just in case.
Because it was the biggest building.
Alex,
it all doesn't make sense. The way the towers came down, there's something going on there.
Thank you for sharing this, Alex.
Life doesn't make sense sometimes, does it?
I'm not buying this one. I think that was clearly what it was.
101.9 The Fox.
So Serving with the Stars tomorrow, Fev and I are going to a tennis court. Gee, there's been a lot of talk in the studio just during that break.
Yeah, I've had a bet with you.
Fev does not think I can return his serve.
No, my first serve, you will not hit back over the net once.
First serve. Yeah. Well, you're going to double fault that.
That doesn't matter.
Well, then, also, Al, hang on a second. Are you saying if I don't return a double fault?
No, you can't return a double fault.
That's what I mean. So
I'm saying off my first serve, you will not hit one ball over the net.
Whoa.
Okay.
You said if he does return.
I'll do whatever you want. There's no way you'll hit it back. You won't even see it.
Okay.
And I'll be going straight at the body.
No, because what will happen is you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Your adrenaline's going to go through. Then you're going to fault. And then you know you've got to lob the second one because otherwise you're double-fault.
Second one doesn't
matter. Oh, no, it's hang first, on.
Yeah, see, now you,
see his trick. It's a trick thing.
How is it a trick? I said first serve, not second serve.
Well, yeah, but back yourself in. Say first and second. Say I can't return any of them.
You probably can't.
Okay, this is getting competitive. So now Fev is going to be playing with Pete Hellier. We're about to find out who's my doubles partner. But just firstly, Ben from Truganina, would you like to go into the draw for this incredible prize, 2 on-court tickets to Australian Open women's final plus dinner at Stoke House?
I would love to indeed.
You are in the draw, my friend. Kay from Point Cook, can we put you in the draw?
Woohoo! Yes.
Carmel from Noble Park. Do you want to join Kay and Ben in that draw?
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you, Fee.
That's an absolute pleasure. So lots of people are now in that draw. Fev and Pete Hellier will be playing for somebody. And
need like Roger Federer or someone.
Oh, I've got better than that. I have an esteemed, well-regarded, well-respected tennis player, played tennis his whole life, weekly, daily. He's out there on the courts. Not only that, he is arguably the most loved and respected man in Melbourne, our very own, well, Channel 9's very own, Pete Hitchener!
Greetings. Good morning.
Oh, Pete, and not only that, my fellow king of Moomba.
Oh, the king and queen back together.
And
look, the thing is, if you're invited to have a hit of tennis with the queen of Moomba, what are you going to say? Of course you have. The only thing is Pearl coming? Is there any hope that Pearl will show up?
I don't think so. I hope not, Pete, because then it would be sort of like one of those very full-on tennis parents. She'd be one of those.
Wonderful. I just think that would be wonderful fun.
So Fee and Fev and the two Petes.
Yeah.
It's like the Woody.
The thing is, you've been practicing, Fev, and that's a concern because my tennis was always agricultural at best, and since a few little knee issues, it's been almost non-existent.
Oh, wow. Fev's celebrating
that's
already.
That's all right, Pete. I'll have a nice little hit over.
Oh, thank you very much. Go easy on us, will you?
Fee will literally be thinking, I know that when you were both on the float at Moomba, it was a long day.
Oh, yes.
And you sometimes might have thought, geez, I just wish I was at home on the couch. Well, you're going to be thinking tomorrow when I'm waking 180 kilometre serves at you, I wish I was back on that float.
Yes, I'm sure I will. And what about Peter Hellyer? I imagine he's pretty good at the
game. Yeah, he can
too.
Go. I've been chatting with him during the week, and we we're like a – you can't even back us.
I love this. Pete, we will keep playing the underdog. We'll let him – he's a footballer. He's actually just had his Achilles operated on, so he can barely walk. He's hobbling around the studio. Can't even play.
I'm so sorry to hear it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pete.
So we'll use that to our advantage tomorrow, Pete.
I'm okay now. It was 4 months ago, so I'm recovering, Pete, but that's okay. I can't wait for this. What a legend.
Pete,
I think it's going to be great fun. And as long as there's a consolation prize, just in case we don't quite triumph.
Actually, that's a really good point, Pete. Let's ask Leon. Is there a consolation prize for... Yeah,
the runner-up gets $500 cash. Wow. That's pretty good.
That's nice.
They get the McDonald's award that the kids get at footy when they're not that good. Here you go. Go have yourself a cheeseburger.
You sorry, you're a hack.
Pete, I also know, and I like what you're doing. You're playing it down, but you are an avid tennis player, and I think you're going to bring great skill to this. And I was so pumped that you were my partner.
Oh, thank you. Same here. Just to hang out with you again because it was so much fun.
I know.
Doing the float and all the Moomba stuff.
And Pete, we are still officially the king and queen of Moomba because until they name new ones, we still reign supreme.
We're going to wear your crown.
We're going to hang on to it forever.
Yes. I bring my crown.
You both should wear your crown and I'll see if I can knock it off.
Cannot wait to see it all go down. Peter Hitchener, thank you so much for your time. We'll see you tomorrow, mate.
Thank you so much. Thrilled to be invited. Cheers, kids.
And we should say as well, it is all happening thanks to our good friends at Emirates, the official airline partner of the Australian Open 2023, celebrating more fly better moments.
1019, The Fox.
We just said 131060. Call now. We're going to do a little poll here because we think we've got a question that no one will be able to answer. And if you can, well done. I'm talking about the Australian anthem. Because the Australian netball team, they're playing in the World Cup over in Cape Town in South Africa. And they were playing England. Now, they obviously all stand up before the game. They stand in their line and they sing, somebody sings the national anthem. What happened, though, was the singer got to the second verse and all the netballers were laughing because they didn't know the words. And it made us think, I don't think we know the words to the second verse. Like, Australians all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. I pretty much stop there.
I don't know it. I didn't know we had a second verse.
Do you know it, Nick? Do you know the national anthem?
Yeah, I know the national anthem, but not the second verse.
Isn't this funny? Well, let's see. What Ashley and Cranbourne.
Primary school and high school?
Ashley, you're up for this challenge. Do you know the second verse to the Australian anthem?
No, I don't.
Did you know there was a second verse?
Pardon?
Did you know there was a second verse?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't know either. That's fine.
This is actually a really good snap poll. There we go, Ash. Thank you for calling in. You're up for the challenge and failed. Carolina from Port Melbourne. Hi, Carolina.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Hey, happy birthday. It's your birthday today.
Yes, it is. My daughter's next to me. I'm driving her to gymnastics and she's so excited that I've got through. So I've
happy
over now,
birthday.
Well, what's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Natalia, and she made me the best present in the world.
What did she make you?
She made me a handmade camera that opens up and there's a film inside it, and she made me a bunch of roses all out of paper. It's incredible.
That is beautiful.
How old is your daughter?
She's 12 and a half.
Oh, wow.
That's a Tamagotchi. What's that thing called where you make it out of paper?
Origami.
That's it.
It's incredible.
Oh, well, you're having the best day ever and you've got this amazing daughter. Do either of you know the lyrics to the second verse of the Australian anthem?
So I actually am a teacher and I had to learn it for history. So I do know it because I did my master's in teaching a few years back. So I'm sure I know it.
Well, for your birthday, can we hear a bit of it? So I'll lead you in.
God, so you're going to laugh because my daughter just before goes to me, I was singing to Millie Cyrus before. She goes to me, I'll let you sing because it's your birthday, but it's really bad, Mum.
And now we're going to get you to sing on the radio.
I'm really bad.
No, that's fine. We all are. What do you know? How does it start?
The start of the anthem. You mean the very start?
No, we'll
go to verse two.
We'll forego the first verse.
I have to, okay. Okay, I have to have the last sentence. Of
Here we
the,
go. I'll lead the, you in. In okay. joyful strains, then let us sing. Advance Australia fair.
Beneath our radiant stars and cross, we'll toil with hearts and hands to make this commonwealth of ours renowned of all the lands. For those who come across the seas, we're boundless claims to share. With courage, let us all combine to advance Australia fair. In joyful strength, and let us sing advance Australia fair. I'm so
excited. You absolutely smashed it. Beautiful singing.
My daughter is dying. My daughter is dying next to me. She's not going to live this down.
That was great.
I'm glad they cut that second verse out, though, the real one.
What do you mean?
It's too hard.
Yeah. Can they trim it?
No, that's great. They don't use it. We don't use
Carolina
it.
Carolina was great. After that, after she ended that, there should have been a V formation of some jets over Melbourne on fire.
Hilariously Melbourne. Fifi, Feb and Nick. Fifi, Feb and Nick are fun for the whole family. Just like Monet and friends at the Loom. It's art presented like never before in a bold symphony of light, colour and sound. A must see for the whole family this school holidays. Fifi, Feb and Nick.